Yena tasmai Shigurveda Maha. So today we are commemorating the disappearance day of Srila Gopala Bhatta Goswami, who is one of the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. Actually, there's more than six, but technically there's six because you have Loganath Goswami and Bhugarbha Goswami. And you can also consider Prabhupada Saraswati to be part of that group of devotees. But in any case, there's six Goswamis of Vrindavan. And he's one of those six. And each and every one of those six Goswamis of Vrindavan is an eternally liberated Parshada. That means eternal associate of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in Krishna Loka. And so Gopal Bhatta Goswami in Krishna Loka is known as Ananga Manjari, actually, or Guna Manjari. That is his Siddha name. We have different names. We have a sadhana name and we have a siddha name. Our sadhana name is the name by which we got initiated. And siddha name is the name of yourself in the spiritual world. So you will have at least two names. And of course, in the Krishna conscious movement, we probably have three names. Our karmi name. A karmi name, our initiated name. And we may have four names, actually, now that I think about it. We have our karmi name. That's interesting, a karmi name. We have our karmi name, our initiated name, and if you take sannyas, then you actually sometimes have a different name, sannyas name. And actually it was Gopal Bhatta Goswami who elaborated on the different names for sannyasis. And this is in the Samskara Deepika, his book about different samskaras. However, actually we find Prabhupada giving names to sannyasis that basically were their brahmachari names, and he just added his holiness to the whole thing. But traditionally, like you'll see nowadays in this time, many of the sannyasis have this word bhakti in front of them, like Bhakti Marg Maharaj, Bhakti Vikash Maharaj, and all these different sannyasis. So that's really a traditional, like Bhakti Vedanta, Bhakti Siddhanta. That's a traditional way. But Prabhupada, he adjusted some of the details, which is actually really important when approaching some of Gopal Bhatta Goswami's works, like the Hari Bhakti Vilas and other books that give elaborate details of devotional service. And Prabhupada comments that many of the details that were given by Gopal Bhatta Goswami were given as, not that they're wrong or against Siddhanta or anything like that. It's not Siddhanta anyway, it's details. Were given for time, place, and circumstance because Gopal Bhatta Goswami, coming from a very strict Brahminical family, which we'll talk about in a few minutes, was preaching to Brahmins. And when you're preaching to Brahmins, you have to present Krishna consciousness in such a way that the Brahmanas will accept it. And unless you have all these little details, then the Brahmanas are going to say, you know, what is this? Because they're used to detailed stuff. So Srila Prabhupada, he wasn't so much into those details. In fact, when the deities were installed in Krishna Balaram Mandir in Vrindavan, Prabhupada did have a lot of ritualistic brahmanas come, but Prabhupada said that's not what caused the deities to come or the deities to be installed. He said it was the Harinam Kirtan. But the reason he called the ritualistic brahmanas to come is so the people would respect us. You know, otherwise if we just did Harinam, then who would respect? And even when Prabhupada did deity installations in other places, it was extremely simple. I mean, there was the chanting of the Brahma Sanhita and chanting of other mantras. And then there was the bathing with the Panchagavya, Panchamrita. You know, the five sweet substances, the five substances from the cow. And that was it. And a fire sacrifice, of course. Simple fire sacrifice, just like the Mangalacharna prayers, which means the prayers... Mangalacharna means the glorification or the auspicious glorification prayers at the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord and the Supreme Lord's devotees. That's what the word means. But very simple prayers to the disciplined succession, the great devotees, and prayers to the Supreme Lord and his energies in various manifestations. That's the summation of the Mangala Charita prayers. And that's what Prabhupada did. And that was it. And the deities were installed. So really what causes the deities to be installed is the pure devotee calling them and the chanting of the holy names. And these other details can sometimes be accepted according to time, place, and circumstance, depending on who we're dealing with, depending on who we're trying to attract. And sometimes they may not be necessary. Otherwise, just like I gave the example many times, and I don't want to offend any pujaris, that when I used to do a lot of deity worship here in the beginning days, the good old days, that if I have to count how many circles around the circle, I'll forget about Krishna. And just like, then I'll just have to get my mobile phone out and calculator, you know, just like, or just have some sort of like device that measures how many times my hand goes around. Because my mind is very simple. You know, I like to think of Krishna and Krishna's pastimes and Vrindavan. I mean, that's... Anyway, everybody's different, isn't it? Very, very simple. A simpleton. So I like to think, you know, very simple, like Krishna dancing and Vrindavan. I mean, I can get too elaborate with me. It doesn't work. Just like now, I'm reading some of Jiva Goswami's books, The Gopal Champu. Actually, we're doing a narration of that. And it, you know, it's very beautiful because it depicts different reasons why Krishna did things in Vrindavan. I mean, for example, I mean, not to get into it too deeply, but you have Vrindadevi who complains to Purnamasi that why are these other marriages being arranged for the gopis to other people other than Krishna? And she's making a big complaint and, you know, really upset about the whole thing. And Purnamasi is saying, don't worry, this is just like, you know, just like a show bottle thing. And it's interesting that the gopis, at least according to Jiva Goswami in the Gopal Champu, they were not allowed to see Krishna because their parents were afraid that they would fall in love with Krishna. So even though they couldn't see Krishna, Krishna was manifest in their hearts, and they still fell in love with Krishna, even though the parents wouldn't let them see Krishna. And actually, the first time they saw Krishna, according to Srila Jiva Goswami, was when Krishna was dancing on the heads of the Kaliya serpent, because everybody rushed to the Jamuna River to see that. And then when the parents wouldn't let them be with Krishna, they all went to the Jamuna River one by one to commit suicide because the parents wouldn't let them marry Krishna. Interesting story. And so the parents gradually had to break the news over a period of years that they were going to get married to someone else. And actually this marriage was just a sham. Anyway, so this is what my mind concentrates on. So, I can't... Confirmed. You know, it's hard for me to count circles around circles. The mind doesn't compute.
Rasa circle.
Rasa, you know, Rasa Mangal, you know. You know, anyway. So, Prabhupada did say that many of the injunctions in the Hari Bhakti Vilasa and other literatures composed by Gopabhati Goswami were details. And they were meant for preaching. That's it. They're meant for preaching. And Prabhupada said certain things that are applicable in India may not be applicable in the West. This is in Prabhupada's books. I'm just quoting Prabhupada from his books. So we have to understand the difference between details and principles, or siddhanta. You know, there's siddhanta, which is unchangeable. It's not that in the West we are our bodies, and in India you're not your body. You know, that would be interesting, even though I was mentioning during the Sunday feast, I was traveling with a sannyasi. He used to tell me I was my body. We'll mention his name. So, siddhanta is siddhanta. And the chanting is always the same. But the details can differ. You know, the dress and everything like that. I mean, just like I was looking at pictures of the devotees in Mongolia. There's one of my godbrothers, Bhakti Vaibhava Maharaj, is doing preaching in Mongolia. And he had a picture of himself with all the devotees, and the devotees are wearing Mongolian dress, and they got these hats. Did anyone see that picture? The hats like go up like this high or something like that. And I thought, this is weird. If you ever came to America dressed like that, they probably put you in a mental institution. So, but you know, there's different cultures. But we don't change the Siddhanta. But we can change. Prabhupada actually adjusted some details, and there's a little bit of leeway for adjusting the details, just like we have our different bridge preaching programs like Krishna West, Krishna Lounge, and all these different programs all over America. Anyway, so getting back to Gopal Bhatta Goswami, I don't want to belabor the point. Gopal Bhatta Goswami appeared in the year 1503, and he lived to, living is eternal, but anyway, he disappeared from this world in 1578. So 75 years he stayed on this planet. And he appeared in a place known as Sri Rangam. Sri Rangam, of course, is in South India, and it's the largest temple in India, at least the Vishnu temple in India. There's other larger Vishnu temples, like in Cambodia, Angkor Wat, which is the largest temple in the world, the largest religious structure in the world. But it's the largest temple in India, the largest Vishnu temple in India. And the Sri Rangam is very interesting. It's really a Varnashram community because there's seven walls surrounding the city. And in the inner wall, you know, inner section, you have the Brahmins. And then the next section, you know, concentric, it's not actually a circle, so you wouldn't say concentric, but, you know, parallel. You would say the next one is the Kshatriyas, and then the Vaishyas, and the Shudras, and the Malechas, they're all the way on the outside. So anyway, and it's like on an isthmus, or like an island. It's called an island, but it's actually an isthmus. Isthmus means like an island that's connected by some sort of land bridge. So, very wonderful place. I visited there several times, and it was the headquarters of Sripad Ramanujacharya, Yamunacharya, many great Sri Vaishnavas. Sri Vaishnavas means those Vaishnavas who worship Sri or Lakshmi. So there was a wonderful family staying there with the story of the family of Venkata Bhatta. And that was Venkata Bhatta was Gopal Bhatta Goswami's father. And then he had a very nice uncle named Prabhupada Saraswati, who later I went to Vrindavan and became a follower of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And they lived in the Brahminical area of the temple. So what happened is that one year, of course there was another brother I neglected to mention, whose name was Trimala Bhatta. There's the Bhatta family, that's a Brahminical name in South India. So one year Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was touring South India. And it came to the time of the Chaturmash period, which means the rainy period. So during the rainy period, the sannyasis have to stay in one place because it's raining. And so what happened is he was in Sri Rangam, happened to be in Sri Rangam at the time. He started to dance and chant and ecstasy and fell to the ground unconscious. And he was surrounded by so many people. And Venkata Bhatta saw him. And he said, wow, here is a Mahapurush, great personality. And he invited Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to take prasadam at his house and stay at his house during the 4 months of the rainy season. And that house is still there today in Sri Rangam. And opposite that house, on that area in the road that goes around that particular section of the temple, is a temple that has the deities of Jagannath, Baladev, and Subhadra that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally carved. Because Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was feeling separation from Lord Jagannath in Puri. So he thought, you know, I have to make my own deities. So the deities are about this big. Has anyone seen those deities? No. I have. I've been there several times. And also I met with Venkata Bhatta's family, the descendants of the family, when I were there, when I was there. And it was interesting, you know, they've actually, some of them have made their way to the West and become gurus of some Western famous people. When I was there, I asked them, I said, well, who are your disciples in the West? And they said, the Beach Boys. I don't know if you've ever heard of the Beach Boys before. That's an old group from the 1960s or 70s in America. So they were going regularly to California to see their disciples. It's interesting how things work out, isn't it? So, of course, the only reason people in the West are interested in the Vedic culture or Krishna consciousness is because of Srila Prabhupada. I mean, all these people are riding on Prabhupada's coattails, so to speak, whether it's Gaudiya groups, whether it's South Indian groups, or whatever, any group that has connections with Western people, you can understand that, you know, Prabhupada was the one who opened up the portal, opened up the door for these groups to enter into the Western world. And so, you know, don't want to criticize any other group. So, what happened is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stayed there for 4 months, and in that house of Venkatabhata, there was a little boy, he was 7 years old, and his name was Gopal Bhatta. And Gopal Bhatta was very affectionate with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's described that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he wasn't one of these, like, really, you know, conservative sannyasis in the sense of saying, children, get away from me. You know, sometimes you fit, right? Sannyasis just, boy, I'm frightened whenever so-and-so comes to town. Anyway, so Lord Chaitanya was very affectionate towards Gopal Bhatta, and he actually picked him up and put him on his lap. I mean, that's pretty interesting. He put on Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lap. Prabhupada used to do the same thing with children many times. I was in Dallas when Prabhupada was teaching the devotees how to discipline the children. He said, never, I was watching, Prabhupada said, here's a stick, but never hit them with a stick. Prabhupada said, you should be like Narada Muni's snake disciple. You know that story, Narada Muni's snake disciple? Narada Muni had a disciple who was a snake. And when he became a disciple of Narada Muni, he became a Shanti snake, you know, a peaceful snake. And so the snake was harassed by all the kids. You know, they were just like harassing him. Because they understood he was just a Vaishnava at that point. You won't do anything. You won't bite anymore. Ha, ha, ha. And then Narada Muni said to the disciple, and the disciple complained about being harassed by all the kids. Narada Muni said, just raise your hood and make believe you're going to bite. And he said, that's how you should get rid of the kids. And that is kind of frightening. So Prabhupada was there in the Guru. I remember very clearly in the Gurukul room, he was holding his stick. And he said, but don't ever hit anybody with the stick. In other words, there could be a little bit of strictness with the children, but never hitting. Prabhupada was very strong about not hitting children. Anyway, so, actually Prabhupada even gave an example. When he was young, the teacher would discipline him by saying, if you don't behave yourself, we're going to cut your head off and put it in front of the class for yourself to see. That's kind of traumatic, you know, to have your head cut off. But anyway, Prabhupada gave that as a particular example. So, this Gopal Bhatta, he was treated very affectionately by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Chaitanya played with him. Lord Chaitanya gave him his remnants. When he was eating, Lord Chaitanya would take off his plate and give it to little Gopal Bhatta. It's pretty interesting, isn't it? How Lord Chaitanya was affectionate like that. And Gopal Bhatta, even though he was 7 years old, would serve Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continuously. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had very interesting discussions with Gopal Bhatta's father, Venkatabhatta, and Prabhupada Saraswati. Lord Chaitanya developed a very joking relationship with them. Because of the Sri Sampradaya, they're generally worshipping Lakshmi, you know, Lakshmi Narayan. So Lord Chaitanya said, you know, your Lakshmi is supposed to be so chaste, but why does she worship Krishna? You know, if she's so chaste in Narayan, why does she want to go to Vrindavan and become like one of the gopis? And Venkatabhatta said, this is not a denial of her chastity, because Krishna and Narayan, they're the same. And of course, that's in accordance with the Brahma Samhita. Advaita Chuta Nadiranta Rupa Madhyam Purana Purusham Navayovanam Cha. So Lord Chaitanya said, okay, you're right, I accept that. However, Lakshmi was not able to enter into Vrindavan, into the pastimes. You know, in spite of doing all these austerities, but the Vedas personified were able to, the Shrutis were able to. This is mentioned, of course, in many of the Upanishads, like the Gopal Tapani Upanishad. And Venkatabhata said, that I don't understand. You know, I answered your last question, but this question I don't understand. Why can't she enter Vrindavan? And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu proceeded to explain that the reason she couldn't enter into Vrindavan in the intimate pastimes was that she was attached to her opulent form of worship of Krishna. This is interesting, too, in regard to deity worship. Not that I'm advocating any different type of deity worship. But in the beginning, and then also in the sadhana process, we perform sadhana according to Vaidhi, you know, the rules and regulations. However, if your impetus remains just Vaidhi, then you go to Vaikuntha. You don't go to Goloka Vrindavan. If your impetus becomes spontaneous, Raghunuga, then you go to Goloka Vrindavan. However, even when your impetus is spontaneous, you still follow the Vaidhi to set an example for others. You understand that? It's not that you become Raghunuga and you just like let it all hang out. You know, you go on the altar and you start putting your lips on Krishna's feet or something. We've seen pujaris do that and then they fall down from devotional service when they do that. So Raghunuga means you're still following the Vaidhi, but your impetus is Rag. That's the difference. But externally, it looks exactly the same. I mean, if you're manifesting your Rag externally, that means you're not on Raghunuga, because that means you're just interested in profit, adoration, distinction. You want people just to think out how wonderful you are, what a great advanced devotee you are. So, anyway, so Lord Chaitanya had this discussion, and then after these 4 months, he got ready to leave, and Gopal Bhatta started crying, and in his dream, he was able to perceive Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu before he took sannyas in Navadvip, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave Gopal Bhatta the instructions, don't leave home, you can join me in Vrindavan later on, or join the Goswamis in Vrindavan, but don't leave home until your parents have passed away. It's also very interesting because Gopal Bhatta's parents were pure devotees, Venkatabhata, and Venkatabhata's wife, and I don't know the name of Venkatabhata's wife or Gopal Bhatta Goswami's mother, but they were pure devotees. So if your parents are pure devotees, you stay and serve them. But if they're like mixed or Kanishthas, then like with Raghunath Das Goswami, you head for the hills. And they were devotees, Raghunath Das Goswami's parents, but they were Kanishthas. You know, you don't stay around. And Raghunath Das Goswami had to escape. But Gopal Bhatta Goswami was personally instructed by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to stay there. And then he had another dream. Gopal Bhatta had another dream. And Lord Chaitanya, in the dream, revealed that he was Shyamashundara. And in that dream, he was instructed to later on, go to Vrindavan and serve under the jurisdiction of Rupa and Sanatan after his parents passed away. So, in the meantime, Gopal Bhatta, remember he was only 7 years old, so he wasn't ready to leave his parents at that point anyway. Gopal Bhatta was trained by Prabhupada Saraswati, who was a sannyasi, and his uncle, and he served his parents and always thought of when he could join Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Eventually, the parents passed away, and right before they passed away, they ordered him to go serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Vrindavan. It's interesting, also in India, generally the parents have applied so much pressure to get married. I have one disciple, several disciples in India, but there's one disciple in India. His parents are just saying, you have to get married, you have to get married. And he's begging me, find me a devotee wife, because if you don't, my parents are going to force me to marry anyone. You know, anyway, so not just anyone, but someone of the same caste. So I have to work on finding him a wife. That's a sannyasi's duty nowadays. So, but Gopal Bhatta's parents told him, don't get married, just serve Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Interesting. So then he went to Vrindavan, and there he met Rupa and Sanatana Goswami, who accepted him as their brother. And they sent a message to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri, Gopal Bhatta's finally arrived, because Lord Chaitanya had told them to expect Gopal Bhatta. And Then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sent back some of his garments, the kopina, outer garments, and his seat for Gopal Bhatta to worship. In other words, this was, and also instruction to serve Radha and Shyamasundar. Now, it's very, very interesting. So Rupa Goswami, in the meantime, had a dream, and his deity, Govindaji, instructed him in the dream that he wanted Gopal Bhatta Goswami to be his pujari. It's interesting, isn't it? I said, please make this Gopal Bhatta Goswami my pujari. So he, originally Gopal Bhatta Goswami was worshipping Rupa Goswami's deity Radha Govindaji. So there's some very interesting stories about Gopal Bhatta Goswami. One time he got 12 shilas, Shalarab shilas, which he got from the Gandaki River, and he kept them in a bag around his neck. And it's a very long trek to the Gandaki River. At that time, Nepal and India, they were the same country. So he went to there, he got the shilas, brought them back, and then felt extremely unqualified. You know, nowadays, people who aren't even initiated, they order shilas on eBay or something like that. And without getting permission, without even having a spiritual master, what to speak of getting permission from the guru to worship the shilas. It's amazing. So, what do they say? Fools rush in where angels fear to tread. So what happened is that he felt unqualified. He went back to the Gandaki River, put the shilas in the river. And this happened several times. And they kept jumping back into his hands. You just put them down. They just, I guess, jumped out of the water. Back into the hands of Gopal. So obviously they wanted to be worshipped by Gopal Bhatta Goswami. And so then, as I mentioned, he kept them in a pouch around his neck. And he always wanted to worship the deities like, you know, he wanted to have his own deities like that could be dressed like his other associate Goswamis. So he was thinking like that. And then one day, just to really stir up those emotions, a very rich man offered him some cloth and jewels to dress deities with. And he was thinking, I don't have deities now. So what am I going to do? So he went to rest, and the next morning he opened his bag up that kept around his neck with shilas, that had shilas, and one of the shilas became, the Damodar shila actually became Radharaman, a beautiful form. I mean, that deity is, can be seen today in Vrindavan. It's one of the few original deities that you can see in Vrindavan. It wasn't taken out of Vrindavan to Jaipur and other places. So, anyway, so then he was very happy. He was worshipping Radharaman. And several other things happened. He was looking for pujaris for his temple. So one time he went on pilgrimage to Haridwara. That's up the Ganges. And there was a big storm. So he took shelter in the Brahmin's house. And the Brahmana was in anxiety. And he said, my dear Brahmana, why are you in anxiety? And the Brahmana said, because I have no son. Please bless me to have a son. And Gopal Bhatta Goswami said, I bless you to have a son. You know, people do that all the time. And the Brahmana was so pleased. He said, I will offer you my first son. Whatever son comes out, he's yours. But not as a baby, of course. Not that they expected Gopal Bhatta Goswami to be, you know, changing diapers and taking care of a little baby. So what happened is that Gopal Bhatta Goswami basically forgot that for some time. 10 years later, Gopal Bhatta Goswami was in Vrindavan, and 10 or 11, and the 10-year-old boy came to him. And he said, my dear boy, what are you doing here? What's your name? And he said, my name is Gopinath, and I have come to serve you, my father, who you previously met in Haridwar, has ordered me to serve you. So he went, and he was served Radharaman and the deity of Gopal Bhatta Goswami for his whole life. And he later on got the name of Gopinath Pujari Goswami. So his whole life he remained Brahmachari. His brother came and also took initiation, you know. So there's a benefit to going to householders' houses and blessing them to have children. So his younger brother came, and he also took initiation, and serve the deities too. And his younger brother did get married to these descendants of this family, are now still serving the deities. And Prabhupada said that if you ever want to learn about like really opulent, you know, deity worship, go to the Radharaman temple, because it's one of the few temples where they actually follow the marg, the process, like completely to the letter. And they're very friendly with ISKCON, and they allow ISKCON devotees to take pictures of the deities. In many other temples, they don't allow ISKCON devotees to take pictures. So in one time, Radharaman appeared to Gopal Bhatta Goswami as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You know, Gopal Bhatta Goswami was taking darshan of Radharaman, all of a sudden he saw a sannyasi standing there on the altar. Pretty amazing story. And so Gopal Bhatta Goswami had disciples too. Of course, Srinivas Acharya was the disciple of Gopal Bhatta Goswami. And Gopal Bhatta Goswami composed some literatures. He wrote the Hari Bhakti Vilas, which was collaborated with by Sanatana Goswami. And Prabhupada said the details there are for India mostly. I mean, like you have injunctions that, like not to eat carrots, for example, and things like that. And Prabhupada said those injunctions for India mostly for preaching to brahmanas. And it was his idea to compose the Shat Shandarbhas, which Jiva Goswami later on worked on. So he was actually, Jiva Goswami gives him the credit in the beginning of the Shat Shandarbhas. Like the ISKCON has published the Tattva Shandarbha so far. He also wrote a commentary on the Krishna Karnamrita, Bilvamangal Thakur. Everybody knows who Bilvamangal Thakur is? He's sometimes called Lila Shuka. Bilvamangal Thakur was the person who was very attached to the prostitute. The prostitute's name was Chintamani. I mean, if you have to have a prostitute, that's a good name to give a prostitute. Anyway, so the prostitute's name was Chintamani, and when it was a storm, lightning, thunder, he crossed the river by grabbing a dead body. He didn't know it was a dead body. Crossed the wall by grabbing a snake, which he thought was a rope, and finally Chintamani became his Sitra Guru, a Vartma Pradasha Guru, by telling him that if you had so much love for Krishna, you'd be a pure devotee by now. And he took sannyas immediately. And of course, there was that other encounter where he became attracted to a lady again, and he put his eyes out, and he was blind. And then Krishna personally came to him when he was in Vrindavan. And Krishna, he was holding Krishna's hand and wouldn't let Krishna go, and Krishna pulled himself away from Bilvamangal Thakur. And Bilvamangal Thakur said, "You may be able to pull yourself away from my hand, but you can't pull yourself out of my heart." As a famous person, Krishna Karanamrita is one of the books that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appreciated the most. There, like the Gita Govinda and other books like that, Krishna Karanamrita, there's three or four books like that that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continually heard from. So, Gopal Bhatta Goswami wrote a commentary on the Krishna Karanamrita. He wrote something called Satkriya Dipika, which is the samskaras for grahasthas, and also samskara dipika, which we mentioned before, which is the samskaras for sannyasis and names of sannyasis. And as I mentioned in the beginning of class, his siddha name was Anangamanjari or Gunamanjari, and he disappeared on this day in the year 1578. So Gopal Bhatta Goswami Gijari. Any questions or comments about Gopal Bhatta? Yeah.
Sivanga,
who is
Ranganath. Ranganath.
Yeah, he's Vishnu form. He's lying down. He's actually really big. I mean, actually, the altar would practically be the whole side of this building from there to here, almost not quite that big. And he's lying down. You've got to go to several doors to see him properly. You've seen him, haven't you? Oh, yeah, maybe Sri Ram. And of course, they have an Utsava Murti too. That's Utsava means festival Murti, and they take him out every day on a palanquin. And this palanquin is a really heavy thing. Like each post of the palanquin is about this big. You know, heavy, heavy palanquin. and it takes like 20 men to carry or even more to carry it. And they go to different Brahmins' houses during the day. And they take the deities and they have a whole program at different people's houses. You know, the people offer. It's interesting, they take the deity out and people, this is a nice thing about a village. If we actually had a village, I mean, in America, it may not be possible, where you take a deity to different people's houses and they make offerings to the deities. Of course, they have to be Brahmins. But in Sri Rangam, the center section, everyone's a Brahmin. So that's not really a problem. So they're making offerings, glorifying, having kirtan, playing gongs. It's really loud. And it's a real wonderful procession. Every day they do that with the deities.
I remember...
Yeah, yeah, sometimes they're considered to be the same person, Surdas and Bill Mangal Thakur. Sometimes, yeah, that's what I've generally heard. And, it's just really wonderful taking the Utsava Murtis out. And when I first joined the movement, we used to take the Utsava Radha Govindaji Murtis from New York out to Central Park on Sunday and just give everyone darshan. Everyone got darshan of Radha Govinda. It was wonderful. It was actually quite wonderful. I remember being in Central Park and chanting for Radha Govinda, having aarti for Radha Govinda. You know, eventually, you know, if we develop a real big community here, we can take the smaller Radha Govindanda deities out people's homes or something like that. It's actually very inspiring to people to do that. So any other questions? Yeah.
When you see Radharani, they always have a crown and a dress there for Radharani, that she's not manifest. But
yeah.
How come they never arranged for a manifest Radharani to be with?
I don't know the reason. They just put the dress there. But, you know, she's there, but she's just not manifest to our eyes.
I understand.
I mean, I don't know the reason why they didn't have a manifest
Radharani. I just wondered about that. And my other question is that the same amount of mantra? That's Radharani's sister? Or
yeah, yeah. Nanda Mandri is Radharani's sister. Janavamata is also sometimes considered to be a Nangamandri too. So these various devotees, you know, there's combined incarnations or manifestations. And in the Gopinath temple at Radhakund also, there's a deity of a Nangamandri who's considered also to be Janavamata. Yeah. That's in the Gopinath temple that has the... that has the samadhi of Raghunath Das Goswami. Yeah. Jai Shri Radha Galokananda, Radha Galokananda ki jai.